If you have your Bibles in Matthew chapter 15, I want to read a portion of Scripture, and starting in verse number 21, and then I want to turn over to Mark and read the parallel Scripture after that we pray. The Bible said, "And Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." If you'll take notice, I didn't plan on this, but last Sunday morning we met a man that was having a problem with the devil. And he was among the tombs. And I didn't plan on this going this way, but this is the way the Lord is leading. And here's a young girl, a daughter, that's grievously vexed with the devil. You know, a lot of people think the devil's not real. And I want to tell you something. The devil's real. His demons are real. Spiritual warfare is real. And I believe God wants us to know that. And the Lord, and she said, she came unto him saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. This seems so strange, and we'll get into this after a while. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." I want you to pick up on something right here. Who's got the problem? Does the woman have the problem, or does her daughter have the problem? You see, intercessory prayer makes others' problems, your problems. You see what I'm talking about? This mother said, "Lord," she didn't say, "Lord, help my daughter." She said, "Lord, help me." And I think that there's many pictures of that in the Old Testament when the prophets of God were talking about the nation of Israel. They entered into that same case. The Bible said here, "But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Pray with me, please. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here at Bible Way with these precious people. And God, I know that you know what we have need of even before we ask, but God, you said to ask. I ask you to save those that are unsaved in our midst. I ask you, Father, to encourage those that are discouraged in our midst. And I ask you, Father, to help us all to realize, Lord, that regardless of the situation, Lord, we're not beyond help because, Lord, you can help us today. I pray, dear Father, that you'll help us to glean from this text and help us, Lord, to see truth that will help us another day on down the road. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before I read the text in the book of Mark, I'd like to just give you the title that God has given me for this message. Last week we preached on this subject, finding hope in a hopeless situation. And today I'd like to title the message, finding help in a helpless situation. This woman was helpless. She would love to do something for her daughter, but she couldn't do it. And her daughter was helpless. Her daughter couldn't do anything for herself. I'm glad when I met Jesus, I finally come to the place where I realized I couldn't do it, that I was helpless in and of myself, that no one else on earth could help me, but Jesus could help me. Turn to the book of Mark, please, with me for just a moment now. Mark chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7. I've said this before, and I believe it's important. Whenever there's a parallel account in the Gospels, I think it's important that we read each account. You say, "Pastor, I told a man this last week," and he said to me, he said, "Pastor, that's good." You see, last week we ran into a situation where one of the Gospels, I believe it was Matthew, said there was two demoniacs, and the other two Gospels said there was a man among the tombs. And it seemed as if there could be a contradiction, but really not so. Matthew chose to concentrate and let us know that there were two, and the other two Gospels that concentrated on the man that God helped. Amen? You listen to me now. You could take a street corner and have an accident in the intersection and have four different people standing on four different corners watching the same wreck, and they'll give you different details about that wreck. I thought about this, Brother Chris, after we talked last week. I thought about the fact that, you know, one might say there was two people in the car and all they were seeing was from the windshield. And somebody else, maybe a door flew open and they saw there was two people in the back seat. There's four people. Neither one of them's lying. Amen. They're just telling you what they saw in the wreck. Amen. And so look with me at Mark, please, just a moment. In Mark chapter 7, and we'll begin reading in verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs, watch this now, under the table. Think about that for just a moment. The dogs under the table. That wasn't worded like that in the other text. Eat of the children's crumbs. I'll show you after a while how the Lord's speaking to my heart. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. May the Lord help us today as we look at the situation here, finding hope in a hopeless situation last week, and finding help in a helpless situation this week. I want you to notice just five things in the message today. We'll be as brief as we possibly can. The first thing, and I think it's very, very important, is we need to notice the Savior's presence. Jesus traveled 50 miles to get to where this woman was. Jesus had done miracles before among the Gentiles. You remember the centurion. But they were always in Jewish territory. Jesus has traveled now over to a place, beloved, there at Tyre and Sidon, or Canaan, a woman of Canaan came out. And Jesus is now on Gentile territory. And I believe it's important to think about that. When you think about the Bible saying here that it's not meat to cast the bread to the dogs, that Jesus he's backing up the scripture where the Bible said he came unto his own, the Jew, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Bible said to the Jew first, and also the Greek. And so Jesus has an order, but his presence is what's important. He's traveled 50 miles. At this time, Jesus has not yet been glorified, and he's not omnipresent like he is today. Our Lord can be everywhere at the same time today. Amen. But at that time, he made a special effort. Now, we would get in a car and drive 50 miles in about 45 or 50 minutes. But you understand it took a great deal of effort to travel this journey. But I'm going to give you a journey that was further than that. Jesus left the right hand of the Father, and he came down here to earth to enter into a little baby. Amen. Take on a body of flesh like that you and I have, and be tempted in all points like you and I are, yet without sin. You say, Pastor, what's so important about that? Jesus, you can say whatever you want to. He knew there was a woman 50 miles over yonder that was needing help. And he knew that you and I, beloved, needed help. And no one else could provide it. And so he was willing to come down here that we might experience his presence. He's a very present help in a time of need. You say, Pastor, you can't say that Jesus is here. I'll ask you this. I want to ask you something. How many of you know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, saved you by his grace? How many of you know that? Now listen to me. Raise them hands up there again. You know what the Bible said? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. I'm glad I don't have to come to church on Sunday, brother-in-law, and wonder, will he come? Will he come? I brought him with me, amen? And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, he's here. He's in our midst. And I believe it's important to understand that today. This woman needed to experience the presence of the Lord. Let me give you in Matthew chapter number 4. You say, Pastor, why would she make this effort? Jesus came over there to Tyre and Sidon. Why would she make this effort to go out and meet him? I believe there was some groundwork laid. Look at Matthew chapter number 4 for just a moment at verse number 24. And the Bible said, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. I believe this woman, beloved, this Syrophoenician woman, had heard that there's a man called Jesus. He can handle the devil. He can get the devil out of my daughter. He can deliver my baby. And when she found out that he was willing to come 50 miles, amen, over there where that she was, she ran out to meet him and she fell down before him. And I think that is important to note. Jesus, beloved, listen, he had healed the centurion's servant. But do you understand, beloved, he said, not to the centurion, but about the centurion, I've not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. But he says that to this woman. Great is thy faith. Amen. I believe it's important to see that this morning. We see the Savior's presence. Secondly, what I want you to notice, beloved, listen, is the sinner's position. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? This woman is a Gentile. This woman is referred to as the Gentiles were among the Jews as dogs. And listen, Jesus, beloved, is giving her something that she probably already knew, and she understood that, but she wasn't going to give up. Let me say this. We give up too easy. Amen. We've got, Brother Ralph, I heard some good news about grace on Wednesday night. But there's got to have been times, brother, when you just wondered, God, are you hearing my prayer? God, is anything happening? Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, every one of us has been through that. Amen. But just hold on. Amen. Because it's worth holding on to the Savior until we see God work on behalf of that one that we love. Beloved, notice the sinner's position. She's a Gentile. Look in Mark chapter 7 and verse number 25. The Bible said here that she fell at his feet. You see it right here? But when he went out, Mark chapter 7 and verse number 25. Notice what the Bible said here. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came out, I love this, and fell at his feet. I want you to know something, beloved. Listen, she's got the right attitude. She's not going to stand up like some of these TV evangelists and march into the throne room of God and boss him around and tell him what to do. She's going to fall at his feet, amen, and make her petition known. She has a position of humility here. And then the word of God said in Mark chapter 7 and verse 28, and he answered and said unto him, she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. I'll say this to you, beloved. Listen to me carefully. This woman was willing to take her place under the table so that she might have a place at the table. Amen. A place of humility. She was willing, beloved, to humble herself under the mighty hand of God. Anything just to get her daughter some help. Amen. She was willing to do that. And she took her place as a Gentile. She took her place under the table. We notice not only the Savior's presence and the sinner's position here, but I want you to notice the sinner's problem. The daughter. Beloved, every one of us, listen, when we got saved, we had a bad problem. It was a sin problem. But every one of us, since we've gotten saved, have had a problem. Amen? You see, the first thing that happens after a person gets saved is they begin to get under a burden for others. They begin, beloved, to want to intercede on behalf of others, those that are sick, those that are lost, those that are in any trouble. Amen. We begin to try to carry that burden. And here's a woman, beloved, that understood there was a problem. And so she's going to be entering into an intercessory prayer for her daughter, looking for help. And she's going to find help in this helpless situation, because in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 25, she comes out with this word, Lord, help me. I'm telling you, I read just a few verses prior in my reading where Peter said, Lord, save me. I'm telling you, beloved, it's not always about the length of the prayer. Amen. But it's, beloved, about us taking our position under the table, where we realize if that one, beloved, that's sitting at the head of the table don't help us, we're not going to get any help. Amen. She was willing to take her place that she might get that problem solved for her daughter. What a blessing. What a blessing. There's a Savior here. The Word of God said in verse number, over in Mark chapter number 7 again, I want you to see something, beloved. Watch this. The Bible said in Mark chapter 7 and verse number 25, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, entered into a house, and would have no man know it. Watch this. I love these words. But he could not be hid. Ain't that a blessing? Say amen. I'm telling you, when Jesus showed up, beloved, he'd tell them, don't tell it. And the more he told them not to tell it, the more they told it. And the more they told it, the more people understood that Jesus was in the midst. Amen. And his presence could not be hid. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have this morning. Why did he show up? Because there was a problem that mama couldn't take care of. There was a problem that the daughter couldn't take care of. I don't know where the dad is in this story, but I know this. There's a heavenly father that's concerned about a little girl that's possessed of the devil, and he wants her to be helped. He wants her to be delivered. We've noticed the Savior's presence and the sinner's position and the sinner's problem, but I want you to notice this, and I think it's very important. I want you to notice the sinner's plea. I want you to notice this woman and how that she talks to the Lord. In Mark chapter 7 and verse number 26, she was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. I want to ask you something. What's the last thing that you begged God to do? What's the last thing that you begged God to do? That you said, God, I can't do it, but I need you to do it. You say, Pastor, do you really believe that desperate people beg God? Somebody say amen. I tell you, I believe this. Some of the best praying we've ever done in our life is when we couldn't get a word out. Our heart was clean with God, and we were so broken. And the Bible said the Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Amen. I believe that prayer is perfect. But I want you to know, I believe it's time, beloved. We beg God, listen to me this morning. This is beautiful, these youngins standing up here. It's absolutely beautiful. But I would ask you a question. If God don't do something in this country, what are these youngins facing? If God don't do something in our churches, what are these youngins facing? If God don't do something in our school system, what are these youngins facing? I'm telling you, it's time, like this woman, to take our place and get on our face under the table and beg God to help us. Amen. I was telling the kids this morning in Sunday school, I was reading in Leviticus last week, and I'll be honest with you. You all wouldn't admit this probably, but I got bored. I got bored in Leviticus. And you know what I did, Brother Gary? I stopped. I found myself bored. I wasn't going to sleep. I just bored what I was reading. All them tribes and all them places that God was describing. And I just stopped. And that's what I said. I said, Lord, you said that every word of God is pure. And Lord, you said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for instruction and righteousness and for correction. I said, God, you're going to have to help me. Amen. You know what I did? I continued reading, and God let one word jump out over and over and over and over, and it was the word border. You see, all I did was stop and said, God, you... But God, let me see something. And what Brother Don was boring to me, I was just reading along and trying to get through it. Amen. But listen, what God was saying is to this tribe and this tribe and this tribe and this nation, your borders are important. Amen. And I believe it's time we realize the same thing in this country that we live in. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, I'm just trying to tell you, here's a woman. Here is a woman, beloved, that's making a plea to God. She besought Him. This prayer is a prayer of intercession. It's a short prayer. It's a humble prayer. It's a prayer that's filled with faith. It's a fervent prayer. It's a modest prayer. It's a rational prayer. It's a prayer that's relying totally on the mercy of God. It's a respectful prayer. And it's a persevering prayer. She ain't giving up just because Jesus said, I can't cast the bread to dogs. She ain't giving up. She said, Lord, that's the truth. But even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the table. Amen. I thought about my dad when I read that this morning. I never in my life thought I would see my dad have a dog in the house. Before he left this world, he had two of them in the house. Heather's pointing over somebody over there. I don't know what's going on over there. Amen. But anyway, we'll leave that. They can fight that out over the dinner table. Amen. But Daddy had two of them. But I could remember time after time after time, Mama didn't want that dog to have that table food. Well, when Daddy found out Mama didn't want something, he'd do it or die. Say amen. And he thought he was helping that little poochie down there under the table. Amen. This woman knew that even the dogs can get the crumbs that fall from the table. And I'll tell you something right now, beloved. If we'd get good and hungry for the crumbs, God might give us a sandwich every once in a while or a biscuit. Say amen. But we need to get hungry. Amen. And she persevered until she got an answer. I believe this sinner knew what it was to plead, amen, with the Lord for her daughter. And then we see, beloved, the Savior's power. In Mark chapter number 7 and verse number 29, if you want to turn there with me just a moment, Notice what the Word of God said. In Mark chapter 7 and verse number 29, notice what the Bible said here. The Bible said, "And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way." You say, "Pastor, what was the deal? She just had the right words?" Oh no, she had the right heart. She knew that this one, you see, she approached him and said something about "thy son of David." She had no right to approach him like that because she wasn't a Jew. She was a Gentile. But when it was all boiled down, she said, "Lord, help me." And she had every right, beloved. Listen, I believe that thief on the cross understood that Jesus, in a moment of time, he understood and changed his mind about who Jesus was when he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Can I tell you where I believe we're at in our society? Don't get mad at me. But I believe we have multitudes of people that want a Savior without a Lord. They don't want to go to hell when they die, but they want to live like hell while they live. And beloved, it doesn't work that way. God has made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Amen. You don't get one without the other. Years ago, I was a little bit confused in my heart and in my mind. I thought a man got saved and then it's somewhere, Brother Don, I'm confessing that somewhere a man made Jesus Lord of his life if he chose to. And some call that lordship salvation. I don't care what you call it. It's not right. When I went down that night a sinner, I came up with a Savior and a Lord. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can cooperate with his lordship and, beloved, grow in grace and knowledge. But you can kick against his lordship. And I tell you what he'll do if you belong to him. He'll take you to the woodshed. He'll change your mind about your direction. Say amen. Say, why would he do something like that? Same reason a parent corrects a youngin'. Because we love them. Amen. And we want what's best for them. Here's the Savior's power. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 29, he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." I believe it's important to understand, beloved, she found hope in a hopeless situation, and she found help in a helpless situation. Her help came from the Lord. The Bible said here, in verse 28, verse 27, she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I believe, beloved, listen, that stories like this in the Bible are put in here for a reason. Every one of us, if we would examine our lives, if it's not true today, at some point we saw a situation that was helpless. We couldn't handle it. But God, say amen. God comes along and God can handle it. Great is thy faith. He said that of the centurion, but he said that to this mother. And it was not said to another. You think about that, beloved. A Gentile, a woman with a daughter who was in trouble. And God said, "I'll just go over there. It may not be on the way, maybe out of my way, but I love her enough to travel the 50 miles. Get over there where she is." She runs out, falls down at his feet, and says, "Lord, help me." You know, this morning it's sad to think about the people that will leave this world unprepared because they were not willing to bow their knee and say, Lord, help me. They were not willing. They want a place at the table, but they're not willing to take a place under the table, a place of humility, and acknowledge their need of Him. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, God is trying to help us in this story to pray for our lost ones, to pray for those that have lost their way, to pray for a country where scores and scores and scores of young people now under the age of 14 are dying with fentanyl because they got a big old hole in their life and they're trying to fill it when only Jesus can fill it. There's men that are in a drunken stupor this morning because there's a big old hole in their life and they're still trying to pour it full of liquor and they can't get it filled up. They can't get satisfied. There's many different demons in the world, beloved. But I tell you, there is a Savior that can deliver in any situation, amen. That one that'll take their place at His feet. That one that'll say, Lord, help me, help me. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for the privilege to be here today. I pray, dear God, that we would learn some things from this precious woman, her burden, Lord, for her precious daughter. God, that we wouldn't give up, that we would find, Lord, not only hope in that hopeless situation, but find help in that helpless situation. God, we can't help ourselves, but Lord, we know the one who can help us. Lord, I, as pastor, I would love to be able to help people. Help them to Jesus. Help them to understand how wonderful it is to be forgiven. How wonderful it is to know when they lay down at night, if they don't wake up or if Jesus comes in the night, that heaven would be their home. But God, I can't do it. Lord, that is the job of the precious Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that someone would come. They would say, Lord, I'll take my place under the table. If You'll just give me some crumbs. If You'll just help me, Lord. God, I pray that mothers would come, that dads would come. Lord, this daughter, she's laying over there, maybe not even knowing that she's eat up with the devil. But God, Mama knew it. And Lord, Mama's making intercession for her. Lord, she didn't say, help my daughter. She said, help me. Lord, we see that over and over in the Bible. Lord, Israel has sinned. And Lord, people would enter in, the prophets would enter in to that place with them. Jeremiah said, the harvest is past and summer is ended and we are not saved. Oh God, help us today. Lord, help us today to see that You're there waiting with open arms. God, You'll save today those that'll just come. Those that'll just take their place under the table, take their place down there with the dogs, just desiring a crumb that falls from the Master's table. Help us now, Lord, not to give up, to realize, Lord, there's help in Jesus' name.